Championship. For the first time in two decades, college basketball has a repeat champion.
And Coach K is the proud father of three in more ways than one. At midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, it almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010. The Blue Devils are the national champions of 2015.
National championship number five for Mike Krzyzewski.
Just an unbelievable tournament performance by Coach K and his young Devils.
What's up, everyone? How is it going? Hope you enjoyed that intro. It seemed like a fitting intro for this podcast. And hopefully we'll get our sixth one this year. And I'll add that into the intro. So, seemed pretty fitting, and I liked it. So, it is Thursday, early in the morning. I figured I'd get this out. Not too much brewing, however, the Marvin Bagley situation is interesting, and there's been a few other news headlines as well. Marvin Bagley is going to visit Duke on Friday. He will be there until Sunday. Whether he reclassifies, it's unknown. But there is a chance that he can reclassify and play for Duke next season. It's reported that he still has six core courses that he'd have to complete. So, that's a lot in a short amount of time. It's also reported that he is working through those courses right now, at least some of them. So, if he's doing that, it would seem like he wants to reclassify. And it's also reported that he does want to reclassify as soon as possible. And he wants to play next season. And then, of course, he'd also have to get cleared by the NCAA, which is a whole nother battle in itself. He's old for his current class right now. He's only a year younger than Jason Tatum, so it would make sense if he came this year, age-wise. But look for that to clear up in the coming days, especially after he visits. I believe USC and Arizona are also scrambling to try to acquire him. But Duke would seem like the right choice if you're comparing those three. But that's my biased opinion, so. I know Duke wants him. I mean, how would you not want him? It's kind of funny, all of these people saying, oh, he should just come next year, and I don't want him this year because that'll mess things up. I get what you're saying, but you take him when you can get him. If you wait a year, I mean, Kentucky's going to start yapping. The other schools are going to start yapping in his ear, and, you know, he might be long gone by then. You see how much stuff can change overnight. Such as basically the Kevin Knox situation, which I hate when people harp back on Kevin Knox, but it's true. I mean, they're just kids. They can make big decisions based off of impulse. So, we'll just have to see with him, but I mean, I hope he comes this year. If he does come this year, he's not going to be done in time, from what I'm hearing, to go to the Dominican Republic with Duke, because that's a second summer session, and he won't be able to enroll until the fall if all of this coursework and everything is true. So that kind of is a negative to the whole situation, him not being able to go to the Dominican Republic if, in fact, he does come to Duke. So the team will have probably, I mean, they already have chemistry building, and then they'd go to the DR and have even more chemistry, and he hasn't even barely met any of the guys face to face yet, so that could be a problem. Other than that, I mean, back on the summer session, Coach K was speaking about it. It's sort of bogus. I didn't know that during the summer sessions, when the guys come early for the team, that the coaches can only work with the team 2 hours a week. Only 2 hours a week. That's crazy. Coach K was saying what a problem that is and how it's one of the worst rules in the NCAA right now, and that he looks for it to be fixed in the future, but it's going to be a long, chaotic process to get it fixed. But usually when he voices his opinion, people take notice, so I think that's good. He, you know, 2 hours a week, he just wants to spend more time with them. He wants to get to work early. They have a lot of extra time because it's the summer session. They're not as busy as usual. A lot of free time. They should be getting work in, but 2 hours a week, so that's next to nothing. Coach K also said Grayson Allen had an ankle surgery this offseason, and he was out for 3 months, and that now he is fully recovered and back to his full athleticism. So I'm very happy about that. Glad he got whatever that was cleared up. We're going to need a fully athletic, full potential, and positive mindset, mature Grayson Allen this year. If we want to contend, that's one of the many things that have to fall perfect. He's also going to be a captain this year. Also, coming from what Coach K said, he's the only senior on the team, so he kind of has to be a captain, or at least we need him to be. Hopefully none of that tripping antics this year. I don't think there will be. I think he'll be fine. I think he kind of has to play that Quinn Cook role this season, and I know he's not known for being vocal and a leader and everything, but from what it's looking like, he's evolving, and hopefully he will play that role, because we're going to need that this season, just like in 2015 when the team was down. Quinn Cook was the guy who rallied everyone together, brought everybody to his apartment, had team meetings without the coaches, and said, you know, we came here to win a championship. We can still get there, but we're not there, and we got to buy in. And they did, and we saw what happened. So we're going to need a guy like that this year. Every championship team has had a leader or multiple leaders. There's never just talent for a championship team. Everyone has to buy in. And I know that's why a bunch of people are afraid of the Marvin Bagley situation, of him coming this year, but we have the best leader in college basketball, which is Coach K. So he can usually handle situations like that. I know it's been rough in the past with, you know, Austin Rivers and a few other. Ever since the freshman era has came, it's been rough, but they're going to be okay either way, I think. I mean, he's one of the top prospects in the last decade, so that's why I just think you have to take him when you can get him. With or without him, I think we're still going to be contenders. That article I read about 0.00 chance if we don't get him, I don't really get that. We're second in Vegas odds, and that's not because of our name, Duke University. That's because we have the number one point guard in the class, the number one shooting guard in the class, Grayson Allen, Jordan Tucker, late addition. I think he's going to contribute. We'll have to see how much as the season goes. And then we don't know what we're going to get from Javon, Jack White, Alex O'Connell, or Vrank the Tank, but it's going to be more than nothing. And then you pair that with the number one power forward, Wendell Carter Jr., who is looking very lean and very athletic. And then five-star sophomore Marquis Bolden, who seems to be healthy, more poised, more mature, and just a better mindset all around. So if you put all that together and a few things fall right, we're right there in the top three teams in the nation. So no chance at all that doesn't make any sense to me. But with that being said, I'll take Marvin Bagley whatever year I can get him. Whatever year Duke can get him, let's just get him. Other than that, there's not, like I said, there's not too much brewing. JJ Redick started his new podcast, The Chronicles of Redick, which is a great name. But the first episode wasn't that great. I think he was just kind of setting up the new situation, talking about Philly, his new podcast, breaking it down. But it wasn't that great. I'm sure it'll get better. And then if you are obsessed with podcasts as much as I am, I highly recommend checking out Short Story Long. The guest on there yesterday was Kyrie Irving. And it was a great hour and a half podcast where he just starts from his life from the beginning till now and talks about what he's been through and all the schools he moved to, his time at Duke, getting drafted, and up until now, basically his success story. It's a really good listen. It's Short Story Long on wherever you get your podcast from. I thought it was funny that when he was in high school in New Jersey, the other teams who play against him in the state for the state tournament, they knew they couldn't beat Kyrie's team in the state tournament. So they all rallied together and got a private investigator to go to Kyrie's high school team's gym. They hired a private investigator to act like he was fixing the air conditioning. Because for some reason in the high school practices, the head coach isn't allowed to be there or something. But they said all schools did it. It was just one of those rules where it wasn't enforced. For some reason, it was a terrible rule. And it's still in effect, but it was never really enforced. So all schools were doing it. But they hired a private investigator to go to his high school and film the coach being at the practice, which got Kyrie's team banned from the state tournament since the head coach was at the practice. So he couldn't play in the state tournament. And then they're still practicing. And Kyrie, you know, he's number one point guard in the country, number two point guard in the country. So he's a little cocky. So he said, they're doing suicides one day. And he said, man, we're not even playing anymore. So fuck these suicides. And his coach, you know, said, yeah, you're a quitter and you're weak. That's why Brandon Knight is better than you. And I didn't know this whole backstory, but Brandon Knight and Kyrie were battling back and forth for number one, number two point guard in the nation throughout high school. In Kyrie's junior year, he went to an NBA camp and played against Brandon Knight. And Brandon Knight got the best of him because he was stronger, bigger, little more developed. And so that just set Kyrie off so bad. And so from then on out, he said he just tried to dunk on anybody at the rim because he could get up pretty good back then. Which I thought was funny because, as you know, Brandon Knight went to Kentucky and then went on to the NBA. Of course, Kyrie went to the NBA. And then the Rising Stars game, if you haven't seen it, just YouTube Kyrie Irving Rising Stars game, Brandon Knight. They basically matched up the whole fourth quarter, and just Kyrie made him look ridiculous. Crossed him up, made him fall twice. Scored about 20 more on him, no problem. And then blocked him like three times too. And the crowd's just going crazy. It's probably the best moment ever in the Rising Stars Challenge. I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't, definitely YouTube it. It is hilarious. So I thought that was funny, that whole backstory. It seemed like Kyrie was getting his revenge. And he talks about Duke too. He's actually still best friends with Josh Harrison. Josh is actually there for the whole podcast. And he talks about how when he got hurt, you know, he spent less and less time with the team while he was recovering. So the team would be traveling or the team would be practicing, and Kyrie's not even with the team. So he's just hanging out on campus, just enjoying the culture of Duke, enjoying the people, the college lifestyle. And he said that made him fall in love with Duke, and that's why he still loves it, you know, so much today. I thought it was also interesting that he said he, when April came around, he was starting to get a little bit more healthy and getting his legs back under him. And he was telling his teammates and everything, I'm coming back for my sophomore year. I'm returning. I want to give a full season. I love Duke. I want to come back. And then his dad was like, you can't come. Like, you can't go back. You played 11 games and you're going to be drafted number one overall. It's not going to get better for you. So, that ended that real quick, but I thought that was pretty cool that he wanted to come back so bad. So, all in all for that, check that podcast out. It's a good listen. Other than that, we'll have to monitor the Marvin Bagley situation. I'm about to head to the beach for a week, so I'll get this up. And we'll regroup after that. Hope everyone has a great week, great weekend. Twitter, Blue Devil Dive. Instagram, The Blue Devil Dive. This podcast will be on the podcast app, SoundCloud, and Google Play if you have an Android. Which, if you have an Android, I feel kind of bad for you. I'm not even sure if it's called Google Play. I think it's called Google Play. Whatever your app store is, it's on there as well. We'll probably be doing some video streaming soon on YouTube. Just to add another aspect of where you can get this podcast. Hopefully we get Marvin Bagley, and I'm ready for the season to start. I'm excited about this year. I know last year didn't live up to the hype. The year before that wasn't amazing either. So it's easy to feel like that's going to happen again. But I'm really excited about this year, as long as everyone stays healthy. And if Marquise Bolden can be the form that we thought he was going to be, that's going to be a big thing too. If he can be that, then I'm really excited about this season. So, shoot this podcast a review and a comment if you enjoy it. If you hate it, then maybe just turn it off. Don't leave me a bad review unless you have to. DM me, tweet me anything. Have a great weekend. Catch you guys soon, and I'm out.